Today, I'd like to discuss the terrible, horrific event that occurred just last week on March 6, 2008, which is now known as the Merkaz Hirav Massacre. The newspapers specify that it was just a single gunman, a Palestinian resident of East Jerusalem, who infiltrated the yeshiva and began firing round after round at these students that were just learning, studying Torah, rejoicing over the beginning of the month of Adar. And his AK-47 shot as many as 600 rounds until he was finally shot to death, but not before wounding many yeshiva students and killing eight bachrim. We just read a few moments ago Zohar. This is a Shabbos in which we must remember, to remember the students by reciting their names. Yochai Lifshitz, 18, from Jerusalem. Yonatan Yitzchak Adler, 16, from Shiloh. Yonadav Chaim Hirschfeld, 19, from Kochav HaShachar. Neria Cohen, 15 years old, from Jerusalem. Roy Rod, 18, from Elkanah. Segev Peniel Abihoel, 15, from Nedaniel. Avraham David Moses, 16, from Ephrat. And a 26-year-old, which we'll discuss more about in a few moments, Daron Meheret. And these eight students, who were doing nothing but learning Torah, the elite from among the Jewish nation, were dramatically, tragically lost their lives. What a terrible loss. What a complete waste. But we could sit here today and say, it happened. It happens. But this is not the attitude. We must learn something. We must derive some message from this incident, from this terrible occurrence, from this massacre in Merkaz Hirav Yeshiva, so that their deaths shall not be in vain. And if we look at the beginning of Zohar, of the reading of Zohar Eis Asher Asal Lecha Molek, one cannot help but to find a tremendous connection between this coward, this terrorist that walked into the yeshiva, and thousands upon thousands of years ago when a Molech snuck up from behind us while we were exiting and had just left Mitzrayim from Egypt. That although one could read this section of Zohar and say, why is it necessary to read this Parsha? Why must we remember the story of Amalek? It was thousands of years ago. Let bygones be bygones. Who is Amalek anyway? Can we singly point to them with complete knowledge that this in fact is the nation of Amalek? So why must we read something which seems irrelevant, something which has no real meaning in this day and age? And on this the Torah says that the attitude of an Amalek was v'zanev v'chag kol nechashalim acharecha v'ata oyef yageya, that they snuck up and killed the weak from the rear, those who were faint and exhausted. And although certainly these young men between 15 and 18 years old and Daron 26 years old were not Oyef Yogeya, they were not weak, they were the strongest, the most powerful of the Klal Yisrael, And with the greatest chusin, the greatest merits that one could possibly accrue for themselves. But ayif yageya means not that they were physically weak, but it means that they were vulnerable. That just as the people in the days of leaving Mitzrayim, they were simply walking. And unfortunately, these cowards snuck up and stabbed us in the back. This was the exact same thing that happened just last week. When yeshiva students are intending to do nothing but to learn, to grow, to study, to be able to master the Judaic texts of the Talmud and Chumash, they come in and start shooting. Shooting us when we're completely vulnerable and unprotected. And therefore, this addresses the important question that Zachor is one of the few sections in the Torah, the few times that we say definitively that the Torah reading on this Shabbos is Midyaraisa. It's a Torah obligation that every single person must come and listen to the Torah. So much so, the Mechaber tells us, says Rav Yosef Karo, that the Bnei HaYishuvim, those who live in faraway places in rural communities, which do not have a minyan, lacking a quorum to be able to lane to hear the Torah, that Srichin Lovel Amakum Shish Minyan B'Shabbosos Halolu, they need to go to make sure that this is heard, the section of Zachor. This is not something which we should ignore, but it's something which needs that every person must hear and must learn from. When the Mefarshim asks the question that if in fact it's a Torah obligation to hear Zachor, to remember the happenings of Amalek, then why would we not recite a bracha? After all, when we perform a mitzvah such as the shaking of a lulav, we take the lulav, but before we do so, we say a bracha al netilas lulav, then we shake. Why, when it comes to this mitzvah, is no bracha recited before? And some of the mefarshim explain, similar to kibud av aim by honoring one's parents, that when it comes to zachar, it's not comparable to a mitzvah of lulav. Lulav, you take the mitzvah, you take the four species in your hand, you shake it, and you've completed the mitzvah. You have closure, it's finished, it's over. But when it comes to the remembrance of a Amalek, it's not just a one-time occurrence that you walk into shul today and fulfill the mitzvah and it's all over. But rather it's something which continues. And if we don't wish to remember it, they will very easily cause us to remember. With continuous terrorism and Qassam rockets flying into Sederot and terrorists walking into yeshivos such as Merkaz Harav last week. And therefore no bracha can be said because this is not a mitzvah which can just be simply said and be finished on the same day. Today, I'd like to discuss another comparison. After all, today we did read from Parshas Vayikra. And what exactly, if any, is there a connection between our Parsha, Parshas Vayikra, the beginning of this new Sefer, and Zachor? We're all familiar with the word Vayikra, and its unusual spelling, the small aleph. And on this, the Baal HaTurim comments the famous explanation as to why the aleph is written small. Shemosha hayagadol v'anav, because Moshe Rabbeinu was a great man, and l'ratza lichtov el v'yakar, he did not want the word v'yikra written. He rather wanted the word v'yakar. Vayakar without an olive is lashon mikra, something which just happens. It's just by chance that God came to Moshe, which of course is not true. The reality is, Moshe's relationship with God was a vayikra, It was a continuous relationship. It was something which was thought out. It was calculated when God came to him. But he made the Aleph small. We also find the same word in Zohar. The Torah tells us, Asher karcha baderech. And on this, Rashi has two explanations. What does it mean? Asher karcha baderech, that a Amalek happened upon you on the way, is a lashon mikra. It's an expression of chance. It's something that just happened. And a Amalek, therefore, in addition to attacking us, continuously gives the perception that every single encounter, every single attack against the Jewish people, it was just by chance. It just happened to be that the B'nai Israel were in the wrong place in the wrong time. But certainly not to want to believe that it was calculated, that it was something in which an entire nation had this intention from the get-go. Rather, it's mikra, by chance, they happen to come along. And this is the way the media continuously paints this picture. We find this throughout history, especially when it comes to attacks against the B'nai Israel. Just last week, the papers are talking about this terrorist, this coward, and they're calling him, quote, a single gunman, and calling him a Muslim, but not a member of any militant group. Because what they're trying to say is that this is the view of one person. This is not the view of many. This is not the view of an entire nation. But of course we know this is not true. Yes, one person pulled the trigger. But do we not know this, of the celebrations, of the dancing, and the music, and the screaming of joy among all of those of the Arabs that had witnessed and had heard of this horrific news? It is not a mikra, as the Amalek and as the media wishes to paint the picture. But it's something which has always been and always tries and continuously haunting Klal Yisrael. An eyewitness to the event of this massacre said, quote, it was not by chance that the attacker targeted Merkaz Harav, the main yeshiva of national religious Zionism and a birthplace of the settler movement. Rather, it's a central place because it's a symbol of religious Zionism, and so it feels that we have been attacked personally. It's a Vayikra. It was something which was planned. It's something which was already destined, that they wished to accomplish this, to do harm against the Jewish people. But throughout history, we find that we constantly gravitate toward the Vayikar, trying to ignore and to shrink that Aleph, as though to say that things are not absolutely terrible, that this one man does not represent an entire nation. I was once listening to a professor who discussed this very concept throughout American history. That very often when a person finds out that there was a terrorist attack, the feelings that one have is that they're nervous, they're scared, they feel unsafe. And therefore, it's necessary for the FBI, for others to pin this incident upon someone. It could be one person or just a couple of people. And they say it was just him. It was that person that committed this crime. And he's no longer with us. The evil has been eradicated. He's no longer a threat because he no longer exists. And therefore, we can now go back, leading our lives again, and feeling safe and secure. For those that remember, in October of 2002, There was a sniper in the Baltimore, Washington metropolitan area. And many people were scared, even those who didn't live so close. And they felt uneasy, unsafe. But once we were able to hear the name of those two individuals, John Muhammad and Lee Boyd Malvo, then we were able to feel a bit more safe. It was them. It was their corruption. It was Mikra. It was an isolated incident. But this is not the way of the world. And therefore, I can go on feeling safe. In 1995, for those that recall the tragedies of the Oklahoma City bombing, we also sensed fear and a lack of security. But then we hear the names Terry Nichols and Timothy McVeigh. And then we say, it was them. It was Mikra. It was that group. That small, corrupt, sick way of thinking. But the rest of the world is not corrupt. The rest of the world wishes to live a life of security and to live a life of peace. Mikra, Asher Karcha Baderech, we know better. We know that Amalek is not Asher Karcha, that they just happened upon us. But so much so we wish to believe it, that we do not have an entire nation that wishes nothing but genocide to completely destroy the Klal Yisrael. But how could we forget in the Haggadah that we recite every year at the Seder B'chol Dor V'Dor, Omnim Aleinu Chaloseinu, Zachor. We must remember this. As much as we wish V'yakar, and to shrink the Aleph, but we have to remember and look and read Vayikra, that it's something which is planned, and unfortunately, not just one person. But there's another message of Asher Karcha. Rashi tells us that Asher Karcha Baderech is also a lashon of Kor V'Chom, that the word expresses cold and heat. Says Rashi, Sinencha, that Amalek wanted to cool us off and to chill us out. Continues Rashi, Mirshircha, Mirsicha Secha, and cooled you off from your boiling heat. The question is, when we hear about this tragedy of the falling of so many young, innocent men, how do we feel? How do we react when we find out that another bomb was let off, and there was another suicide bomber, or that there was another Qassam rocket that fell in Sderot? When we continuously hear of the death of so many, we often don't even realize that there are actually faces connected to those names, that those children, that those young men have grieving mothers and grieving fathers and siblings that are crying and are at a complete loss, and that those young men, they had goals and they had aspirations that have now been lost forever. I believe it's an obligation for us not just to zochor, to remember their names, but to study their lives so that we should never become desensitized, that we should not be cooled off as Amalek wishes for us to do. That eventually, by getting hit enough times by a bully, we give up. We say, all right, take it. Take whatever you want. We cannot allow a Amalek, Asher Karcha, to make us cold. Rather, by studying these children, these young men, and the greatness of what they accomplished in their short lives, will cause us not to be cooled off, but rather to boil inside, to be angry. Daron, the 26-year-old man, a man from Ethiopia who wished to learn in yeshiva, went to the Rosh Yeshiva, to the dean, and unfortunately did not have the Talmudic knowledge to be able to function on the level at this very difficult yeshiva's curriculum. And he said, if you do not want or will not let me learn Torah, will you let me wash the dishes in the mess hall? And that's precisely what this young man did. For 1.5 years, he washed the dishes of the yeshiva. And whenever he had the opportunity to, he would go out and he would learn a little bit until he accomplished so much that in fact they realized that he should be a full-fledged yeshiva bachur. This is just one glimpse of one of the lives. And when you hear and understand the emotional connection that this is a person who had goals and aspirations and a tremendous drive, how could we allow a Malik Asher Karcha to cool us off? We should be getting more outraged and angry that this is not acceptable and that this will not be tolerated. In conclusion, it states in Halacha that Zachar means to remember. And therefore one would think, all you need to do is to think about this story of what a Malek did to the Jewish people then and what they continue to do to us today. Says the Mishnah Brura, Dehai Zachar, Hainu Ba'amira, that when it comes to Zachar, it's necessary that it must be said, and it must be said mitoch ha-sefer dach. It must be read from a sefer Torah. V'lo dai b'meh she'yikva zeh b'libo. It's not enough for one to think it, to feel it in their hearts. But why? Why is Zachar necessary that one needs a mirah, that it must be said, and that we must gather everyone together from the communities that do not have a shul, that everyone must come together as one? And the answer is that even though we know what's the truth, and we know what's right, and we know what's evil in this world, but we must not allow that it should only stay within ourselves, and not to share it, and to be too scared to voice our feelings and our opinion about the tragedies that are happening to Klal Yisrael. It's necessary that it must be b'amira. It must be said. We must scream it at the top of our lungs, on the mountaintops, and to say that this will not be accepted. This is not tolerated. We are not going to be cooled off. As it's stated by one of the eyewitnesses, that they wanted to show that the power was in their hands. But as one of the rabbis said, nothing will shatter us. We will not let this break us. Lo tishkach, we should never forget. Zachar, let us remember.